The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume in our studies this morning in Genesis 30, where we'll pick up with the exegesis of 31 through 34. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment with this academic setting that's established for believers to assemble themselves together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life, to assimilate it purely and in the depth of spiritual understanding so designed. It demands that the believer priest is in fellowship, that they are filled with God the Holy Spirit, that the human spirit, which is given to them at the point of salvation in the doctrine of regeneration, being born again, is activated. We have a spiritual apparatus then with the combination of God the Holy Spirit and human spirit to assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine apart from the flesh, the sin nature, and its involvement in this regards. And the way that we are ensure ourselves to, that we are in fellowship is by making sure we've kept tabs on our personal sin in the life and rebounding, applying 1 John 1:9 upon personal sin, whereas we are forgiven of those sins experientially. And we are therefore under the rulership of God the Holy Spirit, both not only in His indwelling, but filling roles in this fashion. So as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for your person, your protection for Paul's volition throughout history, in our time, even in the last days where evil permeates this planet as not seen ever before in human history, apart from the Noah flood. We ask once again this morning that you bless us in regards to our comprehension of the truth of your word, your plan for our lives, as these things are to be instrumental in our lives and implemented so that we can continue to avoid the pitfalls of Satan's world and to otherwise serve you in action with honor. We ask God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us once again this morning to the truth at hand. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Here in chapter 30, beginning a new section, new paragraph, verse 25 to the end of the chapter. We come to the completion of Jacob's second seven-year contract obligation to his uncle Laban for the hand of his wife Rachel, ultimately in this vein, even though he obviously ended up with two wives, Leah, through the deceptive tactics of his uncle, as we saw. The challenge in regards to 7 years is to recognize, for the interpreter, is to recognize that the first 11 sons of Jacob were born within that 7-year period. The end of the contract is noted chronologically, beginning the section preceding immediately, obviously, after the birth of Joseph, Rachel's first and the last of the 11 sons born during this period. As we saw, Leah had 4 sons within a 3.5-year period. She had a 20-month period of non-conception. During that time, her and Rachel's maids, Bilhah and Zilpah, had 4 children, two apiece. Leah then started conceiving again. She had 2 more sons, with Zebulun being the last and the sixth of her natural born sons. And during her pregnancy, obviously, Rachel became pregnant and completed the 7-year period with the birth of Joseph. After that, Leah had one more child, a daughter, Dinah. So the end of the 7 years is completed. And Joseph, Jacob, approaches his uncle with his resignation of service, firmly but politely, noting that his obligations had been completed and fulfilled in this fashion. Verse 25, "Now it came about when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country.'" That recognizes that his heart is in the land of Canaan. That is his inheritance. That is his people, where they reside. And that clause, basically in clause, tells us that Jacob possesses father's volition, and there is some spiritual advance that can be implied in regard to his life over these last 14 years of experience under living under the roof of his uncle Laban. And he then tells him in verse 26, "Give me my wives, my children, for whom I have served you, and let me depart, for you yourselves know my service which I have rendered you." While the 7-year period is obvious to all parties concerned in fulfillment term, what does remain still that could be questioned is Jacob's role of work responsibility, his work ethics, as they pertain to serving his uncle Laban during that time. And obviously, he approaches his uncle because until his uncle does indeed voice approval in regards to his work was sufficient and met the standards necessary, that at this point in time, his entire family still, if you will, is at stake if Laban wanted to take legal action otherwise. And as I brought it out, that could end up with an annulment of marriage and the dispositions of the custody of the children otherwise if Laban so wanted to take that path. So his words in verse 26 recognizes that which is at stake, that which is at risk, and it implores his uncle Laban to be in agreement and give the approval in regards to a job well done otherwise in that respect. And indeed, his work ethics were high caliber. God was in it for him in this respect. And Laban saw that. He recognizes that there's really no legal means to hold Jacob for any further service and work in this regard. So he approaches Jacob with the proposition to go into business with him. Now this should appeal to Jacob to a certain degree, as Jacob essentially had worked 14 years just to have a family, a room and board, etc. It was no real wealth that was available to accumulate for himself to show for those 14 years. So Laban, always thinking in business terms, proposes to Jacob to go in partnership with him so that he can acquire some assets, if you will, build up a savings account or whatever, to be able to return back to home in that condition. And that's verse 27. He first starts as Laban has the character, the natural salesman technique of first buttering up Jacob, Laban said to him, "If now it pleases you, stay with me." Then he appeals to divine inspiration for his next statement to Jacob. "I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account." And that word divine, we saw previously, was only used of the serpent in the garden possessed by Satan himself. Otherwise, it is used for divination or some type of spirit inspiration that obviously is not directly from God. And the idea behind his revelation to Jacob in this regards is to appeal to Jacob in regards to Laban's own religious aspects of life, that he obviously embraces the true religion, biblical Christianity, as we would say, by utilizing the word Yahweh. The other aspect of divination recognizes his pagan, idolatrous involvement, his religious reversionism otherwise. And the idea is he's trying to suggest to Jacob that it's God's will for him to stay and be together, that they make a good team, if you will, as Laban has prospered over these 14 years at Jacob's hand and management of his assets. And he's willing to provide a hefty sum, if you will, for Jacob to stay with him and work with him under these conditions. That's verse 28. And he continued, "Name me your wages and I will give it." And that is obviously, at least on the surface, a very gracious offer for anyone to become a partner with another, obviously make you CEO or whatever, and you can make the big bucks along with me, the owner, the assets otherwise, in our business proposition. And Jacob, he's not having any. And he turns around, and we see now the discernment and growth emotionally as well as mentally and spiritually of living in the environment that he was in regards to the character or nature that his uncle is, and that is one that he cannot be trusted. And he responds to him, if you will, in a doctrinal perspective. In verse 29, "But he said to him, 'You yourself know how I have served you and how your cattle have fared with me.'" He is now employing a shrewd tactic, just like his uncle loves to do with others, in regards to benefiting himself in this respect. And it is indeed a fact that he worked hard, he managed Laban's assets with the highest ideals and success, and the evidence is seen in the multiplication of livestock that has otherwise been produced over these 14 years. And he then puts it in the right perspective, as Laban would come off, that is his wealth that Jacob can build on, he's providing, etc. In verse 30, "For you had little before I came, and it has increased to a multitude." He's saying, in all actuality, you were nothing before I showed up in regards to your financial portfolio compared to what has been provided for you. And he does not appeal to inspiration. He's had divine inspiration. He's had it real, but he doesn't appeal to it. He simply states the doctrine as it has been revealed to him, and that is reality, is that the Lord has blessed you, verse 30, with every step, whenever I turned, wherever I turned. And he recognizes that it is Yahweh that is in charge of the blessing at this point in life. And that's important to comprehend here in the situation with Jacob as we get into this next section of all the striped and spotted goats and black sheep and stuff, as there are different variations in approaches in regard to Jacob and his actions in that regard. But here it is obvious that he is oriented as to who is behind the real person behind the blessing that has been bestowed upon Laban at his hands. And that is Yahweh himself. And rather than simply say yay or nay, he makes his own proposition in no uncertain terms. And that is, but now when shall I provide for my own household also, ending verse 30. And that is actually showing his desire, no, I don't want to be in business with you. I want to have my own business. I need something that I can call my own instead of sharing it with others as with you. So that is what's thrown back at Laban by Jacob. Now in verses 31 through 34, we see that Jacob's terms are accepted by Laban. So let's look here at the Hebrew. Verse 31, Laban now speaking again. So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. So we had the wow consecutive, our verb to say here, Cal Perfect, third masculine singular, Amar, A-M-A-R, followed with the interrogative pronoun, what, ma, in the Hebrew, M-A-H. Shall I give to you is the Cal Imperfect first common singular verb, Nathan, or Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. To you is the preposition, lamed, with the second masculine singular suffix. And Jacob said, wow, consecutive, our verb amar, repeated, cal imperfect, third masculine singular, proper noun, Jacob. You will not give to me anything literally. You had the negative particle lo, L-O. Again, Nathan, give, repeated, cal imperfect, second masculine singular, followed with the preposition lamed with the first common singular suffix. Then you had the noun, common masculine singular, absolute, Meuma, anything. M-E-U-M-A-H. He continues, if you will do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flock. So conjunction M, if, I am, our verb to do, is the cal imperfect second masculine singular asah, A-S-A-H. For me, preposition lamed, again with the first common singular suffix. This one thing. One thing is the definite article with the noun common masculine singular absolute, dabar, D-A-B-A-R. It can be translated word, matter, or thing, depending on context. And this particular thing is emphasized with the definite article and the adjective masculine singular zeh. This one. Z-E-H. And if accepted, he says, I will again pasture and keep your flock. I will again is the cal imperfect first common singular verb shub. S-H-U-B. Literally means return. Hence again. Well, pasture is the cow imperfect first common singular verb ra'ah, R-A-A-H. Your flock is your common feminine singular noun constructed second masculine singular suffix tison, T-S-O-N. Then our verb keep is the last in the Hebrew here is a cow in perfect first common singular shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, to guard or keep. Shepherd obviously is fulfilling both aspects. And then he gives him the proposition itself, verse 32, let me pass through your entire flock today, removing from there every speckled and spotted sheep. The phrase, let me pass through, is simply the verb kao, imperfect first common singular cohortative here, avar, A-B-A-R. Your entire flock, that is the preposition bet, followed with the common masculine singular noun construct kol, K-O-L. Flock, again, our noun tesson, common feminine singular construct. Literally, among all your flock. Today is the definite article, followed with the common masculine singular noun, absolute yom, word for day, Y-O-M. Definite article, this day, as it would be translated. Removing is your hifel form of the infinitive verb absolute sur, S-U-R. It means literally turn aside, depart, hence remove. Removing. From there is your preposition min plus the adverb sham. Min plus sham. S-H-A-M. From there. Every is a common masculine singular construct. Noun again, kol, K-O-L. Then our word for sheep is used. Sheep, it can be sheep or goat. Common masculine singular absolute noun, seh, S-E-H. The particular variegated or mottled, if you will, colored sheep, speckled and spotted sheep. Speckled is your adjective, masculine singular absolute, nakod, N-A-Q-O-D. Wow conjunction, then the kao passive participle, masculine singular absolute verb, talah. The speckled ones and those being spotted, literally. T-A-L-A. And every black one among the lambs. A wow conjunction. Again, every is your noun kol, K-O-L. Common masculine singular construct. Sheep, seh, repeated. And here black is your adjective masculine singular absolute. Chun, C-H-U-N. Dark in color, whether dark brown, black. Among the lambs, to specify here, specifically sheep from goats, is the emphasis here. You have the preposition bet, among, followed with the definite article, and the noun, common masculine plural absolute, kesev, K-E-S-E-B, lambs, sheep. And the spotted and speckled among the goats. Wow conjunction. Followed with the kao passive participle, masculine singular absolute verb. Again, tala, T-A-L-A. And anyone being spotted, literally. And, wow conjunction. Speckled is your adjective, masculine singular absolute. Nakod, N-A-K-O-D. Among the goats, preposition bet. Then the common feminine plural absolute noun, ets, E-T-S. And he states, and it will become my wages. And shall be my wages. It will become is your kao, perfect third masculine singular, hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. Follow with our noun for wages, common masculine singular construct with the first common singular suffix shakar, S-H-A-K-A-R. So on the surface here, it looks like separate those and those will be his wages, but we'll deal with that. verse 33. Then as security in regards to him living up to his end of the deal, verse 33 states, so my honesty will answer for me later when you come concerning my wages. While consecutive, then our verb will answer is the cow perfect third feminine singular, anah, A-N-A-H. For me or with me is a preposition bet with the first common singular suffix. Then the phrase my honesty is the common feminine singular now construct with the first common singular suffix tesedaka, T-S-E-D-A-K-A-H. Literally means righteous, hence honesty, one of pure integrity. My honesty. For me later is literally preposition bet, followed with our noun for day, common maxim singular, absolute yom, on the day, Y-O-M, that he would come concerning my wages. On the day, then you had the adverb makar, M-A-C-H-A-R, which means tomorrow, hence later. On a later day. Then you had the conjunction key, when, K-I-Y. You will come is the cow and perfect second masculine singular verb bo, B-O. Concerning my wages, preposition all, concerning, A-L. Wages, again, shakar, S-H-A-K-A-R. Common masculine singular construct, first common singular suffix. And then, not in the English, literally in the Hebrew, before my presence, he'll be face to face as he inspects or audits, if you will. Yet the preposition lamed, followed with the common both plural construct with the second masculine singular suffix paneh, P-A-N-E-H, literally means faces, hence before one's presence. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs with me will be considered stolen, literally. So each one, everyone, common masculine singular absolute kol, again in the singular, in emphasizes generally the individual or collective singular, maybe, K-O-L. Each one, that, is the relative pronoun, a share, A-S-H-E-R. Is not, is the adverb with the third masculine singular suffix, I-N, A-Y-I-N. Then our painted animals here. Speckled first, again, our adjective nakod, N-A-K-O-D, masculine singular absolute, vowel conjunction. The ones being spotted, tala, T-A-L-A, here again as a cow passive participle, masculine singular. Among the goats, excuse me, preposition bet, among the goats, definite article with our noun ets, again, E-T-S, common feminine plural absolute, and vowel conjunction, our verb black, brown, dark, is the idea, adjective chum, C-H-U-M, among the lambs, preposition bet, definite article, kesev is the noun for lambs, K-E-S-E-B, common masculine plural absolute. With me, if found, is supplied, that the idea is correct. In the Hebrew, you have the cow passive participle verb, masculine singular absolute, ganav, G-A-N-A-B, literally means to carry away, hence steal, literally having been stolen. It will be with me in the Hebrew, awkward for us in English, but as then followed with the pronoun third masculine singular who, H-U, plus the preposition F, E-T-H, and with the first common singular suffix, it will be with me. The proposition is accepted, verse 34. And Laban said, good, let it be according to your word. You have the wow consecutive, a verb to say again, amar, cal, perfect, third masculine singular, followed with the proper noun, Laban, doing the speaking. Good is the interjectory particle, hen, behold. Let it be according to your word. You had the preposition lu, L-U, literally means I desire that. It will become to pass according to your word, literally. Cal, imperfect third masculine singular verb, hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. According to is your preposition kaph, K-A-P-H. Your word, again, we see how this word dabar is our verb here, cal imperfect third masculine singular struct, D-A-B-A-R, here translated word correctly in context, word, matter, or thing. All right, these five verses, we read them again. So he said, verse 31, Laban speaking, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and guard or keep your flock. Verse 32, let me pass through your entire flock today, removing from there every speckled and spotted sheep, and every black one among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And such shall be my wages. Verse 33. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come concerning my wages. That he's not trying to cheat Laban or rip him off in some fashion. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, will be considered stolen. In verse 34, and Laban said, behold, let it be according to your word. All right, analysis of verses 31 through 34. 1. Laban here is determined to keep Jacob, even if it means investment of his own resources. So the transaction is changing from a partnership. Whereas in that transaction, Laban obviously maintains possession of his assets and simply would give Jacob an equitable wage or payment, profit off of it, to now Jacob wanting to go into his own business, which would mean if he's going to do it with Laban, Laban has to, obviously, will have to buy for him a loan, an investment to him, and cost him, if you will, that risk. You go to start your own business, you may go to a bank to get the money you need to start the business. The bank takes a risk. They're hoping that the return on their investment will come and the repayment of the loan and your success in business. So here you have the same idea. And with Jacob's proposal, going to business for himself, Laban wants him that bad. Okay, I'll go the extra step. I'll invest my own money on you or in you for you to stay. So two, now again, he could have let Jacob move on with his family, being satisfied with the prosperity he now enjoys at Jacob's expense and hard work. As Jacob made it very clear, back in verse 29 and 38, that essentially, as far as assets go, it doesn't mean that Laban was broke, but comparatively, he was nothing in regards to his assets of livestock, especially, before Jacob came. And the language is very colorful in regards to the profit that was extended during Jacob's tenure of working for Laban as it burst through, it exploded in regards to the reproduction of the livestock and the assets he now has because of that. And Jacob has come to Laban. He has voiced his desire to move on. I've done my work. God has blessed you immensely based on my tenure here. Now let me go. And a normal person that would have a sense of compassion and recognizing that that's where his heart really lays and to get back home, etc., would have said, fine. You know, I've got a lot more wealth in my coffer now because of you. I'm appreciative of that. Be on your way, and, you know, and the gracious person would put a little jingle in his pocket on going out, probably. But this is not Laban. See, this is this teaches the nature of the sin nature as it operates in certain people. Laban is a monetary reversionist. Not unlike Lot in his own right. And greed is what drives him. And his greed brings him about in engaging in activity, business activity, that is not ethical, such as the deceit that he employed with his nephew Jacob over the wives. So three, yet greed continues to drive him, grasping for the, quote, gold ring, end quote, so to speak. With some people, they're never satisfied. They can make millions, and they're still not satisfied. They want to be in the one percenters or whatever. The riches of them all. Now, what drives people? What drives the STA? To probably live comfortably from then on out and show compassion and love for his nephew and family and let them move on their way. Greed drives him. He wants to make more money. Got to have more, 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 more. See? And again, there's nothing wrong with having money and even a lot of money when it's not at the compromise of doctrine. When one has to violate their own norms and standards in order to attain, and that would be righteous norms and standards. I say one's own. We see Laban's own norms and standards. They're not very good. He set the bar low to give us all hope for our own lives, probably. See, and he's got to have it. He wants to have more. And we would euphemistically refer to grabbing the gold ring alive. See, make the big ones. So four, now Laban clearly understood Jacob's terms here of going into business for himself, ending verse 30. While that recognition, interpretively, is subtle, it's important to the context. That is, he proposed first to go in business for Jacob to go in business with him. So they would have a partnership. They would become yoked together. Once again, in a contractual way. And Jacob proposes, no, on the other end of the coin, I want to go into business for myself. See? And Laban, clear, he understands where Jacob's coming from. So he has to process this in his thinking. And he got his, part of the fun of going through these is kind of putting yourself in the person's shoes and thinking, trying to think the way that they think. So he does not see this as a lost cause. He sees it as a continued opportunity and advantage for him. So that's point five. In his mind, he now sees another opportunity to have the upper hand. And how is that? Six, that by means of Jacob becoming indebted to him from a loan of assets necessary to start his business and obligations in that vein. What does Jacob have to start his business? Nothing, really. He'd been working just to have wives. We work hard for what we want in life. Imagine just working just to have your wife and family. See? That's what he did. And he doesn't have really any material wealth to speak of. One that one could really go in and invest and have a successful business apart from that. And Laban understands that. So he says, well, here's another opportunity. Not exactly the way he wanted to go, but this will work. Because in order to do that, I'm going to have to front him what he needs to have this business. And we will be contractually bound together once again in that fashion. Some people, they don't know what to do with themselves if they don't feel like they're in control of every little thing in their life and around them and other people around them. See, I understand wanting to maintain the mental stability of control of life. I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about, the control freaks of this world. They want to control everything and everybody that they're associated with. You know? There's proper place for that to occur, we understand. But you don't want to be anal about it either. So Laban sees an opportunity, another opportunity in a different vein of contractually binding Jacob to him once again. And that is by providing for him what is needed for him to have his business. So seven, Laban jumps at the opportunity, saying essentially he will front Jacob whatever he needs in the phrase, what shall I give you? Ma, Nathan, Lamed. Okay, what shall I give you? Let me make a loan to you. Sign on the dotted line here. So while the offer is probably as open-ended, impossibility as one can express to another. I mean, you have someone that has that much confidence in another person and recognizes that their return on investment through history seems almost assured, they're going to offer, you know, the sky if they had it available to get them on their team and to have a return on their investment. But this is the situation here, more or less, even though it's obviously on this smaller scale between two individuals living in this time in history. Nothing new under the sun, really. Just a different time, different setting. So what shall I give you? And you would think, here we go. What's your FCA going to say? Oh, a couple mils to start off with, I guess. And have a little to the side there that I can dip in if I need more later on or whatever. But Jacob doesn't do that. And here's where you really see a turn in his character. That's been presented so far in the text. The record of Jacob at this point in time in his life is not that sterling, spiritually speaking, and even ethically speaking. But now we see his positive volition starting to really shine through. It's starting to shine through. Maybe not to the degree it needs to be yet, but we see progress. And of course, you've got to recognize God anticipates all this. In spite of what he was, in spite of the failings for Abraham, Isaac, all of them combined, God saw and read their positive volition and what the ultimate outcome would be. So 8, it is an offer that Jacob resists as he responds, "You shall not give me anything. Lo, nathan lamed me uma." So he says, "I don't want anything from you." Basically, as far as any loan or capital, if you will, at the present for my possession. So 9, as tempting as it may be to the SCA to be offered anything he wants, Jacob has other plans necessary to avoid the folly of ever being indebted to his uncle again. He's learned his lesson. He learned his lesson, but it's going to come back on Laban's head now. God's going to reverse this situation for his uncle, you know, screwing him like he did. It didn't happen overnight. Sometimes, you know, people may think, well, you know, somebody does something bad to somebody else. Why did God just immediately intercede and jam the person for what they did? Don't worry about it. He'll do it at his own perfect timing, just like everything else is at his perfect timing. He'll take care of it. You know, maybe he provides a certain amount of grace, or there's another aspect of this plan that needs to be fulfilled, like 11 kids, 12, including the daughter. You know, things of this nature. You never know. But eventually, it does come back on his head. And on the other end of the coin, Jacob here, he recognizes the last thing he wants to do now is become re-indebted to his uncle. But on the other end of the coin too, you know, to have some assets to go home with would be preferable. So 10, his spiritual growth here is seen in the fact that he is no longer willing to be unequally yoked with this reversionistic believer monetarily or contractually. He became yoked to him for his wife. We saw where that got him. How'd that work out for you, Jacob? Asking that in phase 3. Well, we know how it worked out. I mean, for the ultimate is for the good. But for at the present time, obviously, that threw him for a loop. One of those things that happens in life that your whole life is turned upside down for, at least for the present. You know, when he wakes up with Leah in the bed instead of Rachel. But he is learning. He's growing up. And he recognizes that to be yoked with Laban is not preferable. 11, he has learned that accepting anything from Laban, as good as beneficial as it may seem otherwise, on the surface it looked innocent enough. He proposed the terms, "I'll work 7 years for your daughter Rachel." You know. Okay, yeah. You think, well, that's fine. But the problem is, God wasn't really behind all this and blessing all this. How do we know he wasn't blessing it? Because he jammed him. That's how we know. He jammed him big time. So he's learned that accepting anything from Laban, as good or beneficial as it may seem otherwise, is nothing less than falling prey to a manipulator giving with strings attached. So Laban is one of those kinds of individuals on top of everything else. On the surface, he seems gracious enough, but he always wants to attach those strings. He wants to use his offering of grace on the surface as a means to manipulate and control others. And that's something that Some of us have to learn a lot. If you've been there or possibly will be there, that there are those kinds of people. That is not the doctrinal and correct way to apply giving with respect to the just and positive believer. Our command is to give without strings, no strings attached. We make that clear even in regards to the giving to the church. There are no strings attached. In regards to what one may give, it is up to the board on how the funds will be disseminated ultimately. Now, we always try to honor the request. But if it comes down push to shove, you know. And you see this a lot in families, people that have money, they'll throw their bucks to dangle in front of kids, grandkids, others, friends, etc., to, you know, keep them around, if nothing else. Or other agendas that they may have, utilizing the individuals. Sometimes it's wise, if you know that somebody has that tendency, just to stay away from it. As bad as it may seem at the present in regards to your test, by accepting something from someone that has this type of personality trait, and they have a history of it especially, it could turn into something worse later on. So Jacob has learned that accepting anything from his uncle Laban here, point 11, as good and beneficial as it may seem otherwise, nothing less than falling prey to a manipulator, giving with strings attached. 12, Jacob is an example of one way a believer grows up in life. That is through the school of hard knocks. And he definitely is an example of that. It didn't have to be that way. That's point 13. The Christian life doesn't have to be that way, but often is to the degree believers fail to apply the doctrine. Got to go through hard knocks. You got to have people take advantage of you a few times before you start waking up, etc., etc. And it's because of failure to apply doctrine. Offer you your dream job, but it compromises doctrine, and the next thing you know, your life is worse off than it was. That happens. I'm not saying this happened to anybody in particular. I'm just saying that happens. All right, let's take our break.